Hola y bienvenidos al especial en español del podcast. ¿Cómo están vuestros corazones y cómo están vuestras cabezas? Gracias por tu apoyo. Significa el mundo para mí. Te hablo desde España. Bienvenidos al episodio de los mejores beats del podcast.
So that was a bit of Spanish I just googled there. I'm speaking to you from Spain. That's the most Alan Partridge introduction to an episode ever. Hola, my friends. I don't know why I roll the R even in the English part. That's hola, my friends. I'm speaking to you from Spain. And I just googled that intro there on Google Translate. So welcome to the weekly roast. ¿Cómo estás, guys? How's it going? I don't speak Spanish, as one will be able to deduce from those appallingly sounding Spanish words that are probably probably all in the wrong structure, or probably structured incorrectly. Guys, how are you? I'm speaking to you from Spain. I'm on a little sojourn with mi amor. I'm on a holiday. And this week, it's a very special episode. It's the 11th episode of the Weekly Roast. We're almost 3 months into the year. Jesus Christ, the time is slipping through our little potato paws like it's the sand taken from a beach here in Spain. It's the Best Bits episode, okay? This is the classic. These are some of the finest moments that we have recorded from the year to date. So if you've joined the podcast a little bit later on, don't worry about it. You're going to get a lot from this episode. If you haven't, if you've been there from the start, hopefully you will join this little jaunt down memory lane and we can be reminded of some of the greatest moments. And it won't just be Mrs. Jolly's, okay? Although, do you know what I was thinking? We should do a Mrs. Jolly's episode and get Mrs. Jolly's on. Would you be up for that? Like an actual interview? And we could also, somebody said to me on Instagram, we should put up a question box from people and they could ask Mrs. Johnny's questions in real time and see what her reaction is. That could be, you know, I don't think it'd be making a spectacle of anybody. I think it would just genuinely be interesting. So anyway, without further ado, guys, it's the best bits of the weekly roast. Some of the funniest moments we've had so far. We're going to go through and pick out the most hilarious contributions that we've had, okay? First up, we've got the roast of Dirty Co-Workers, the podcast that changed it all. This is when we went through our little teenage phase, myself and Kieran, and we grew and we changed and evolved with the structure of the podcast and the new system was born, the new regime, the roast of co-workers. I will forever remember this one because I promise you, I had tears streaming down my face when I first heard this voice note.
Those things, Mark. I used to work with a guy who had pretty severe diabetes. And one day he went down to the local deli and got himself a pre-made roll, not realizing it was laced with relish, and the relish had a very high sugar content. So we noticed that he was then holding his stomach. He started to scream that his eyes were sore. He was afraid he was going to go blind. And it was quite worrying. 2 hours later, after he finally regulated, we saw him walk back into the office with another roll, the exact same one. And we protested. We said, maybe don't eat that again. Remember what happened? And he said, nah, don't worry, guys. I'll scrape the relish off this time. We'll be fine. The relish had soaked into the bread. There was no way of scraping it off. He ate it again. And the exact same thing happened again. The eyes went nuts. The belly went crazy. But nobody cared as much the second time around.
Like, if there was the boy who cried Ballymaloo. I mean, that is fucking unbelievable. I just adore that so much. I'm not a doctor, but you'd have to have a pretty serious case of diabetes to go blind from one lick of Ballymaloo relish, would you not? Okay, next up. The most common complaint when I was asking you on Instagram about what aspects of your co-workers and colleagues that you didn't like, let's be honest, it was the bodily functions. Let's just do a quick fire round here because there was lots of contributions about bodily functions. So if you have sensitive eyes, ears or throats, please do not listen any further. But if you do not, proceed with caution. Let's go.
Co-worker, also my brother, is beyond vile. He burps so loudly, we can hear it 2 offices away. It's all day, every day.
Brilliant. It's like the Irish version of succession, isn't it? My co-worker, that's my brother, burps really loudly. Brilliant, Deirdre. You're like Kendall Roy's long-lost sister. I mean, firstly, he's your co-worker, but he burps and you can hear 2 offices away. What sort of empire do you have, but your brother can't get his gastrointestinal fucking etiquette in check? Next up, this next one is actually foul, by the way. Coming in from Simon, let's go.
Yeah, so I worked with this guy a few years ago now, and he used to scratch his head and pick the scabs on his head, and then he would put the like scabs that he picked off and the dead skin into this little bin that he had in his desk. Like one you might have for like, I don't know, tea bags or whatever. But he just literally filled it with skin particles and scabs, rotten stuff like that, and just left it there unemptied for the entire couple of years that I worked on. It was one of the most revolting things I've ever seen in my life.
That is like so gross. That is fucking horrible. So firstly, scabs on his head. Like, what's going on there? A bit of arnica maybe, or Vaseline. Like, that is... And then just like putting them in a bin on the desk, it's perverse. People are... What I always wonder when people do this sort of stuff, do they have no shame? Are they not worried about what people who are sitting near them might think? This next one is not for the faint-hearted, okay? So please, again, this is your roast, it's not mine. So I'm just responding to what you said. It's got nothing to do with me. Let's go.
So, we had a girl who used to work in the office for the summer. And when she used to go to the toilet, one of the lads in the office used to go over and smell her seat.
Like, you can't just throw that in as if that's like a thing that people... Oh, my bloody office... My co-worker's so annoying. He always shows up late. Oh, mine always has her out of office on. Oh, mine smells the seat of other co-workers when they go to the loos. That is one of those things that, like, Irish people's ability to sweep things under the rug just really drives me up the wall. Go to HR immediately. This person is a complete deviant. And actually... That has to be gross. There has to be some misconduct there, because I know you're not technically interfering with an individual, but like smelling their seat, that is like, especially if she's not been at the links out the back all afternoon, that is, or if it's in the summer and people are getting hot and sweaty down there, that is so disgusting. We've got a part two to this guy. Let's go.
Another lad in the office used to stick his fingers on his pants, picking his hole, and then smelling his fingers afterwards. That was absolutely disgusting.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it's you. You're the guy. Can we play that again? Listen to this again. I'm actually imagining him now with his fingers down as he says, picking his hole. It sounds like he's doing it. He's got that sort of like distracted look to his voice, sound to his voice. Like, just listen to it again.
Another lad in the office used to stick his fingers on his pants, picking his hole, and then smelling his fingers afterwards. That was absolutely disgusting.
Smell his fingers afterwards.
Then, of course, we had to take a melancholic turn and look at the ways that we sometimes say goodbye to people in our lives. And we did the roast of bad breakups. And let's be honest, this one was easily the best.
Okay, I don't know whether this story is suitable for the public domain, but it's 100% true and quite a bad breakup and one of my worst ones, and I've had many. I'm 55. Imagine you've a follower that's this ancient. Anyway, in the 80s, I was in London and I lived there for 8 years. Anyway, I went over to London, 19 years of age, met this guy. After about a year and a half, I kind of went off him. And I was trying to break it off him, but he's a bit needy, a bit clingy, a bit kind of, you know, and I was like, oh, Christ, got hard to kind of split up with him. And then on his way over to visit me one night, he had an accident. Okay. Long story short, he ended up having to have his leg amputated.
What?
Yes, amputated. Can you imagine? No. Right, so I couldn't clearly split up with him then or break it off with him. You know, you're not going to break it off with a fellow who's just lost his leg. So I had to wait for a year after that, and then I finally split up with him. And I was at that stage, I was emotionally and physically drained. But anyway, so I split up with him. And then after that, he used to chase me around the town on his crutches, shouting, "You took my leg, you took my future." It was extremely traumatizing. And I was like, oh my God. So now even the sound of crutches gets me a little bit tense, which is really unfortunate because I ended up going into a career in nursing. So I have two daughters now, and the one bit of advice I give to them is the minute you start going off someone, get rid. Don't wait around. You never know what's going to happen.
Okay, like that is world class. And I respect your honesty so much. And thank you for contributing to the show. But hold on a fucking second now. Excuse me for cursing. And I'm sorry for cursing. Hold on a second. You took my leg and you took my life. Why have you reduced this man to an incoherent, island-bound pirate who's been left alone, cast away for a decade in the middle of the ocean? I mean, okay, let's just start at the start. You moved to London in the 80s. Let's be honest, Kilburn. Okay, you moved to Kilburn in the 1980s, like many Irish people did. You fell in love. That's a great start. Tragic that the guy had the accident that he had. For you to then complain of being emotionally and physically drained is sort of, I mean, the guy had to get his leg amputated. Last but not least, his descent from, you know, rock and roll into sort of local loon, wandering around, you know, in hurling abuse at you was very quick. I feel like there's a missing part of this story. But Anne, thank you for contribution. And I also wish you very well. I wish both of your daughters very well. And you're dead right. If something, your gut is almost always right. Moving on now. This voice note is called, I'm going to title this one, Detective Itchy versus Scratchy. I really, really did not see this going where it went, okay? So all I'll say is bear with it, because I started it, sort of like Game of Thrones, I started it and was like, meh, like not really going anywhere. This is not going to be entertaining. And by God, does it take a turn. So, let's go.
So basically, I was seeing this guy a couple of years ago, and he started complaining about constantly scratching. And he said he was going to the doctor, and when he did, he rang me after coming out, giving out that he had scabies. And it must be my fault, because I was working in a play school. You know, I was working and it was closed for the summer, and this is July or August. So it didn't really make much sense to me how I would have got it first. And I didn't really have any symptoms until after he got his. So I was kind of like really confused. Okay. And I treated myself, and that was the end of that for me. But I was away with the girls for the weekend, and next thing he got him again. So I was like, this didn't really make sense. So there was something here to me that was not adding up. I kind of stayed quiet about it, and I did my bit of investigation, as girls do. And I realised that there was a couple of people in the town who were all connected to this one girl who had scabies. So I said it to him, and when I said it to him, he went absolutely pale. So I was like, oh, there's something going on here.
Here we go.
So it turns out he was cheating on me with her.
Dirtbag.
She had him. She had given him to a load of other people.
Yuck.
And he was trying to accuse me of giving it to him. Just turns out he was a cheating bastard.
I mean, okay, firstly, I'm not going to tell you guys what part of the country that was from, but let's just call it Skeybereen in West Cork. No, it wasn't. That, firstly, a scabies outbreak resulting in some sort of web of philandering is phenomenal television. I'm looking forward to the Netflix documentary. Can we just clarify, though, scabies isn't an STI. It's just, it's something that, it's, they're like mites that appear generally in, like, they're like bed bugs. They're effectively the European version of bed bugs that you get over in the US, I think.
Pirates not get them.
No, that's scurvy. Close enough. Pirates got scurvy, and sailors, because that's a vitamin C deficiency. Yeah, that's very good detective work. I'm really sorry that you had that experience, and you are right. He was simply a cheating bastard. But I love the amateur sleuth. Easy. Google searches. The amateur sleuth in activities there. Well done. Now, let's just cut straight to the chase, if you'll allow also the pun.
So my bad breakup story is that I was with a guy for a couple of years, and he called around to my house to meet up or whatever, and I just knew I was going to break up with him. So I went out to his car, and we sat in the car for a couple of hours chatting and, you know, trying to resolve things, whatever, but I knew I wanted to break up with him. So that was that. And I got out of the car anyway after a couple of hours, and I had to go around the front of the car to get to the gate of my driveway to get into my house. And as I started walking around, he started revving the car. And I was like, surely not. Like, surely he's not going to run me down. But no, he did. Well, he didn't run me down, but he revved so hard that I had to literally run to dodge the car and run through the driveway. So yeah, he full on tried to knock me over after breaking up with him. So needless to say, that was the confirmation that I needed that I had made the right choice.
Okay, like, I know I'm not trying to make light of attempted murder or anything, okay? But sorry, him revving up and driving down the driveway with you sort of, you know, like Homer Simpson's arse in the intro to The Simpsons. You know, whenever they're going down the driveway and he's getting chased into the garage. That's like you running into your parents, be like, help me, Ian's outside in the fucking Nissan Passat and he's trying to run me over because I'm giving him the boot. I thought I'd had bad breakups, but that is fucking insane. There's no, by the way, there's no coming back from that. There's no like, look, we were on holidays and we said that we'd be open to seeing other people. Like, I know we didn't formally discuss it, but we sort of half did. And I thought that you accept, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is, you tried to run me over in your car, okay? You were also playing Club to Death when in the out of the stereo when you were doing so. You've lost your fucking mind.
Oh, would you not understand that I do that because I love you so much?
Do you know what I mean? Freaks. But after that, it wasn't just bad breakups. We also have to talk about the beginnings of relationships and first date stories. It was Valentine's Day. We did a little Valentine's Day special. And this part of the story, or this part of the roast rather, was absolutely unbelievable.
Well, Mark, so there's this guy that I went to national school with. So bear in mind now, we know each other since we were 4 years old. Stunning, absolutely stunning guy. We had another snog one night after a disco or whatever. Back in the day, disco. And went on then to go on a first date. So we did. We went to cinema and we went and got a bite to eat. Grand. Went out, got a few drinks then after. So I went back to a friend of ours and we went upstairs for a cuddle. So the cuddle was going lovely, you know, snogging and whatever. And went on then and we were fooling around a bit more and it was leading up to sex, which was grand, you know. And we were there anyway, and he proceeded to think he had entered. He did not enter me. He proceeded to fuck the pillow, which was under my back. And yeah, he had a great time, and I lay there, still waiting for me jollies.
Dad, what do you mean he shagged the pillow? Okay, and also, you referring to that as me jollies is utterly depraved, okay? Oh, me jollies. Like, but when you say he was shagging, how, like, do you have, I hope they're leather pillows at the very least. I mean, what sort of concept of a vagina or just basic rudimentary anatomy does this guy have? He didn't shag the pillow for the entire thing. And surely if he was, right? And if you're lying there and he's coming in, like, surely there's like, as no, but the moves always have to happen, but as surely as always is the case, there would have come a moment when he goes like, is it in? Do you know what I mean? Since God was a boy and people have had sex, there is one moment where it's like, is that okay? Is that in? Because it's not like the movies. That's the reality, by the way. Movies and pornography and the media have convinced us that sexual activity is very, very different to how it really, and you know, how it really transpires. And there was always a moment, from what I've heard, whenever somebody goes, is it in? He didn't shag the pillow. Did he climax? Do you know what I mean? Did she mention he climax? I mean, she just kept going, me jollies. Let's just go to the next one.
I don't know where you are when you're listening to this, whether you're driving your car, whether you're walking the dog, whether you're sitting in the office, whether you're working from home, whether you're doing admin, right? I would like you to focus for this one because this story is,
it's complete and utter chaos. Again, you know, you think you've lived a life. You think you've been on some weird first dates. Try and follow this one. Have a listen, okay?
So, very long story short, we went to bottomless brunch and actually had quite a lot to drink. But his sister rang him crying, saying that the dog was dead. And he then got quite upset and basically insisted that I come back with them. And he was like, just in case, still not really sure what that meant. But we got there and the dog was absolutely fine, literally greeted us at the door. But she was still sobbing and was still really upset and was basically demanding that we take the very loud dog to the vets because in her eyes, the dog was still dying. And yeah, basically when we said no, she just started hurling abuse at us, mostly me, saying that we were useless and all this fun stuff. And eventually we managed to calm her down. So I ordered a taxi and while I was waiting for the taxi, he tried to kiss me and within 2 seconds, just whipped his little fella out in the hallway. And yeah, never saw him again, but he does post the occasional picture of the dog, which is, yeah, still alive.
That is just complete chaos. That is complete chaos from start. There's more unnecessary plot twists in that story than an episode of Fool Me Fucking Once. That is, hold on. So let's just call this one Dr. Doolittle fella, okay? So you go to, by the way, there's no prizes for guessing on where what part of the country this girl is from. More, because not your sister. Brilliant, Deirdre. She goes on a date with this guy to bottomless brunch, okay? So you go to bottomless brunch, right? You get drunk, that's fine. The guy, it's an interesting call for a first date. I think fair play to you, but it is like, no, actually, you know, usually bottomless brunch is real like, it's Sarah's birthday, so the girls are all going to bottomless brunch. Work. You know what I mean? That's the sort of buzz of bottom. There's always a sash involved. Do you know what I mean? And Prosecco and orange juice. And then like no one's eating the French toast. But then like, because it's bottomless brunch, the food always gets left on the plate for the whole day. So eventually like, anyway, this isn't a roast of bottomless brunches. Like, is it possible to go for a brunch these days without having a drag queen at it performing karaoke? That's not against drag queens. I just don't know if it's... Anyway, you go on a date to bottomless brunch, right? And you get drunk, fine. The guy gets a phone call from his sister to say their dog is dead. That is devastating news. And then you sort of say like, oh, he gets a bit upset. Well, of course, like, but I feel like there's a suspicion in your voice. Anyway, you go back to his house. And then the sister starts hurling abuse at you. What is going on? I feel like I'm not getting the full story here. What's going on? She's demanding you to bring him to the vet. And then, last but not least, the guy goes in for the kill. He goes in to kiss you. And within a minute, pulls his penis out of his trousers in the hallway. What the hell is going on here? This is completely unacceptable. You get back to the house, okay, where you're met with, at the front door, a dog with a waggy tail. And then when you're leaving the house, you're met with the guy with the waggy willy. Brilliant. It doesn't even make sense. Brilliant. A waggy willy. What the hell is a waggy willy, Mark? Stop trying to put sentences together to make sense that don't. This is why day drinking... Brilliant, Mark. You weren't good at any type of drinking. But this is why day drinking is just such a bad idea. It's all just chaos. It all just results. It's like 3 o'clock in the day. And, you know, the wheels just fall off entirely. However, we can't just always point the finger at strangers. Sometimes we had to look a little bit closer to home. And this week, we did the roast of our in-laws. Probably the most divisive roast of all time because I had a lot of things that were unpublishable, and also it resulted in lots of you telling me just how much you hated the families that you have married into. However, this part of the roast is the one that I found to be the most enjoyable.
Okay, so I had actually forgotten about this and your question box has just brought it all back. But my ex's bedroom used to face the driveway, and this is years ago, we were still like in our early 20s, so if we heard a car coming in the drive, there'd be that awkward scuttle to get up before someone came in. Anyway, one day post-scuttle, we had heard a car, but the front door never opened, so I just got up and I was looking out the window to see if anyone was there, and his mom's car was in the driveway, but she hadn't gotten out of the car yet, and I was kind of like, okay, what's she doing just sitting there? And I realised she was sitting picking her belly button, which I didn't even know was a thing, like picking shit out of it and then rolling it between her fingers. And anyway, it turns out this was like a normal thing for her. So she'd drive home from work or from wherever, and she'd sit in the driveway and just pick her belly button until she came in.
Okay.
What the fuck?
Okay, like, is your mother-in-law a literal orangutan? Does your mum have a penchant for bananas? What the hell is going on here? Picking her belly button and rolling it between her fingers like some sort of ape, a literal ape. That is, there's something very Darwinian, I think, about your mother just sort of sitting in a Nissan Micra and then fondling little flecks of slop that she removes from the crevices of her own skin. This is derangement levels of disgusting. And actually, by the way, the other thing that you say in the beginning of your voice note about doing the little scuttle, the two of you, mid sort of post-coital scuttle and then looking out the window, that's making it more obvious. It's like whatever, remember, you know when you're in your 20s and you're drinking, okay? And then you'd like be in the, you'd be in a friend's house and you'd be looking in the bathroom mirror and you'd be like, am I drunk? Do I look drunk? You're talking to yourself in the mirror. Of course you're drunk. Do you know what I mean? You don't do that when you're sober. You don't look in the mirror and go like, yeah, do I look? Yeah, no. Like, you're making it more obvious, I think. Sort of like if somebody was saying, hey, look, I don't mean to be creepy. You're about to be creepy. You're definitely about to be creepy, because if you're not being creepy, you don't need to mention the fact that you are being creepy. One last one of the creeps actually for you, Karen. Do you know what I was thinking about a while ago? You know when a creep is in a bar? If a creep sees another creep in a bar, is there like a solidarity between creeps? Or do they look at each other and be like, you dirty bastard?
you're taking my, you know what I mean?
Get off my turf.
Get off my turf. Get out of my zone. Yeah, your mother-in-law is decrepit. Speaking of bodily functions, this guy is, I think you might remember this man from the co-workers roast, but this is just phenomenal.
Hey, Mark, my boyfriend's dad sits in an armchair in the sitting room, picking scabs off his arm, and then fishes for them under his nails and has a good munch on them. This is absolutely disgusting and turns my guts.
That is, he picks the scabs off his arm and then and they get stuck under his fingernails and then he goes fishing for them. That is, who's his favourite 90s R&B singer actually? Scabrielle. Brilliant. Where's he from? Scabantilly? Anyway, okay, that is absolutely, what is it with people in scabs? Leave them alone. What's the first thing that your mother or your father or your parental figure ever said to you? Look at me. What's the first thing that somebody adult ever told you as a child? Don't pick your scabs. Leave them alone. Don't pick at it. And then fishing for them. And also though, just to finish on this, turns my guts. Oh, that is a very visceral voice note. Thank you for your contribution. Right, guys, I've got one for you here.
Okay, please keep it on for the sake of my marriage. But my mother-in-law has pictures of our wedding day all over her house and I am cropped out of all of them. There's one of them where it's literally just me and my husband. He's looking right at me and she cropped me out so much that you can just see the side of my head. So yeah, I really feel loved.
What sort of Josephine Goebbels-esque lady is this person cropping you out of... People are shameless. People are shameless and they're unsubtle and they're so unbelievably obvious, staggeringly obvious with their shade. Surely somebody should say something. If Claire Garrahy was to so much as crop me out of one single wedding picture, I'd be sneaking over to the gaff when her and Eugene are asleep with a box of sellotape and Pritt stick. Do you know what I mean? I'd be gluing myself all over the gaff. I just can't believe people think that they can get away with this sort of stuff. As we all know, we learn a huge amount about the woes of the world from listening to the weekly roast. However, in terms of learning, where else to look other than the teachers, you know, and the role that they play in society? Guys, the roast of teachers was just, I think, probably my favourite episode of the podcast so far. This part of the teachers episode just had me in bits.
So there was one Miss Byrne, and then there was another Miss Byrne. One had a huge fucking rack, like she had massive tits. She was also a bitch.
Good stuff.
Just saying. But yeah, she was big tits, Miss Byrne. And then the other one was just Miss Byrne. Like she had average size tits or whatever, but just nowhere near in comparison to big tits, Miss Byrne.
Good stuff. Yeah, like I suppose that's one way of establishing the difference between two people. Who signed off on that as a nickname? That is the laziest. Big tits, Miss Byrne. Who signed off on that? Are you guys, just before we sort of release this to the masses, are you sure this is what we're going for? Yeah, I think big tits Miss Byrne is decent. There's nothing else we could use to ascertain the difference between the two Miss Byrnes. Well, like what? Well, one of them teaches science and the other teaches PE. I don't know about that. One of them has an eye patch. Nah. The walking stick. Nah. The criminal record. Nah. Big tits Miss Byrne. Brilliant. There was a guy in our class growing up, they used to call him Small Dick Megan. No, actually, okay, next one, let's go.
So in like 2012, I had the same teacher, and when we returned after the summer break, the teacher didn't show up to any of the classes, and we all thought that she had some bad illness or something because the school were keeping it very hush-hush. Anyway, we found an article in the Irish Independent reporting that she was sent to prison for impersonating a Garda to get some free petrol and food from her local garage. Supposedly her roommate was a Garda, so the teacher stole her uniform while she slept, went down to her local garage, filled up her car with petrol, took some food and told the shopkeeper that she'll definitely return later with the cash because she was a guard and never did. I think she was eventually cut out by her roommate and then sent to prison.
Oh my God. As a matter of interest though, in terms of like impersonating a Garda, what is the actual, like what's the definition of impersonate? Like what did she do? Do you know what I mean? Did she just wear like a super dry hoodie and show up 4 hours after she was supposed to be there? Brilliant. Do you know what I mean? Did she misuse the pulse system just to get the number of a hot person she'd seen in a coffee shop? Some of them do that, by the way. I know. In terms of impersonating a guard, did she go to a music festival and rock up to a bunch of hedonistic 20-year-olds and be like, hello there, lads.
Say, any of you have a number for
this accent?
Any of you have a number where I could might be able to get some of those yorks to have done around there, the little blue Yorkie ducks?
Okay, look, now this time, before the podcast goes completely tits up, I want to play this one, right? This is just completely and utterly insane. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. Part of me thinks that it isn't true, but then also part of me is like, it's far too niche for it to not be true.
Hiya. So in secondary school, I would say around second year, our home ec teacher, I don't really remember the reason behind this, got us to taste her breast milk, which was frozen in like Ziploc bags in the freezer, from a teaspoon in home ec class. I think we drew straws to do it. I don't know how it was decided. I think two of us did it and tasted cow's milk and compared it with that and had to write about it. Don't know what the purpose was. And I did find it weird at the time, but I still am in touch with the other people in the class, and otherwise I think I made the whole thing up.
Like, what in the name of... Let's just think about the brain of that teacher for a second. Having dinner with her husband the night before. So, honey, how's work going? Oh, it's fine, you know. The boss is grinding me down at the moment, but I sure hope we get that Christmas bonus with the free turkey. What about you? Sorry, I'm just milking myself here into a Ziploc bag. Do you know what I mean? The moment you've unbuttoned your blouse and you're squirting your own breast milk into a Chili's water bottle is the moment you've lost the battle with reason. You're essentially operating an illegal creamery out of your kitchen, Mrs. O'Donoghue. This is fucking insane, by the way. And lest we forget, what's the experiment? What's the experiment, by the way? Is there a difference between milk that comes from a cow and that comes from a chemistry teacher? Yes, of course there is. Of course there's a... We don't need to do a test, and the teaspoon makes it all the more perverted. I just don't really understand. So anything exciting coming up with the kids? It's science week. Are you doing lava wherever you get food colouring and jelly to make that look like the lava? No, I was thinking of doing that this year. But instead, actually, I'm just going to produce one of my cans and I'm going to milk this mother into a little bag and I'm going to force feed my students breast milk. This is what is going on here? Were you planning on pitching this to the Dragon's Den in an attempt to get in the shelves of fucking Sainsbury's? Do you know what I mean? Well, thanks. Deborah Meaden is out. Theo Patisis is left in, but he's still on the fence. Well, Theo, I need you to listen to me, okay? I know it's a gamble, but 9 out of 10 students from St. Colum Kills, graduating class of 2004, agree that it tastes slightly different to cow milk. In terms of scientific experiments, you're hardly Marie Curie, do you know what I mean? Julius Robert Sloppenheimer. This is Oppenheimer, obviously, but slop because the boobs, that's the game. So, let's go. There you go, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate it. As you know, I am over in Spain, and thank you for everything. Thank you for just the book support, like live support, Instagram support at Megan Mark, everything. This podcast wouldn't happen every week if it wasn't for you listening. So I hope you realize the role that you play in this. And I can't wait to bring this to the stage, to see you guys in the flesh. It's going to be the funniest, like, once we figure out the workings and mechanisms of this live show, it's going to be just so much fun. And also, just a little teaser here. Now that we're approaching the end of 12 episodes and, you know, realistically a full season of the podcast, don't worry though, we're not taking a break. There's no breaks involved. This podcast is going to be here with you every single week. You don't have to worry. We're not going anywhere. However, we are going to the drawing board and it might be time to bring in a guest. Who knows? Let me know what you think. If you'd like a guest, let me know who you'd like. Send me a DM on Instagram at Megan Mark. Guys, have a great Easter. Thank you so much for the support. I love you all. Mind yourselves.